Just before we start this podcast, I want to acknowledge that the guest today and myself were discussing about trading Jeff Petrie to create space, and that we didn't expect Jeff Petrie to be on the starting lineup for Montreal this fall. Of course, while we were talking about this, Montreal facilitated that trade with Detroit Red Wings in order for Jeff Petrie to go to Detroit, and we're getting draft picks and Gustav Lindstrom back to Montreal. Just so you're aware of this, and I haven't edited it out because I thought that this discussion was so interesting that I still kept it in. Thank you so much, and we'll get back to the usual intro of the Absent-Minded podcast.
You are listening to Absent-Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to the Top 25 Under 25, the last one of that plateau that I've been talking about. It feels for a week, and it is a week because there are five players. I'm here today with Jérôme Berube of HockeyProspect.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Jérôme. How are you doing?
Doing well, Patrick. How are you?
I'm sorry, I'm going to, you know, destroy your name like five times. I'm just going to start from by apologizing directly. We're doing fine here. It's obviously almost mid through the list or a little bit higher. But as you've heard me saying just before we started recording this, five players: Sean Farrell, Jordan Harris, Rafael Harvey-Pinard, Adam Engström, and Justin Barron, within less than a point in the rankings. Are you surprised by a plateau like this between those five prospects?
Not really. I think the Canes have starting to have, you know, pretty good depth under their younger players. I'm really intrigued by Adam Engström. How is he going to be this year, and where would he be ranked next year will be the most intriguing part. But yeah, at this point, I think I would agree. Like, those players are pretty similar in what they might accomplish at the NHL level. I would agree that grouping seems fair.
Yeah, it's almost like they're all tied for 11, and then we have the 16 behind them. But it's a really interesting list. Justin Barron, obviously, playing in NHL this year, acquired from Colorado. But there were really two different versions of Justin Barron at NHL level. He played with Mike Matheson. They got all the pluses. They were superb. And then he played with Joel Edmondson, and they were okay. I'm not going to say they were bad, but they were okay statistically wise. And again, looking at expected goals for and against. But what did you see in your profession and with your knowledge of Justin Barron?
Well, if you look at last year, I thought he really struggled in camp. And then, you know, you saw Arber Jacki make the team. You saw Jordan Harris make the team. Obviously, Caden Gooley making the team. Even Kovacevic came in from Winnipeg making the team. So I think probably saw himself as, yeah, I'm making the team, and all of a sudden there's four new defensemen making the team before him. So I think this was a bit of a wake up sign for him. And then when he came back, I remember when he got called up somewhere around late December, early January, the Canes played their worst hockey of the year, I think, around that stretch. And he was put in the lineup because they didn't have anybody else. They had injuries, and I remember the first few games that he played, it was difficult. But I feel like as he played more game, got more confident, things start to getting into places a bit more for him. I think confidence is the huge factor for him. I thought maybe in training camp the confidence was not there, and he's like type of player that he needs confidence to activate offensively in a game, and I thought this was lacking in camp. Even when he went back to Laval in the American Hockey League at the beginning, it was not there, and then it took a while. But once he got it, like he played like I believe he made the AHL All-Star game. And then I think he got called up just before that, but if my memory is right. Yeah, confidence is I think the most important thing about him, because we all know about he can skate, he can really shoot the puck from the backhand. He's got, I wouldn't say he's got like PP1 power play number one attributes, but he has at least has power play number two attributes on a good team, I would say. If you're a bad team, you might be a PP1, but I'm always like talking about when a team is going to be a good team. I think he's got enough to be a PP2 guy. And then, he played more as in the second half of the year. And I think Marty Saint-Louis does like a really good job with all of his young player. He doesn't sit them down when they make a mistake. As long as they work hard and they're willing to listen to him, I think he's gonna play them. And then you saw like in the second half, like he was like I don't want to say an important player on the team, but you saw like a very different Justin Barron that you saw maybe like in camp or even like in late December, early January.
I think you hit the nail on the head with the confidence issue, and to go back from that, and you mentioned the confidence issue in your last sentence as well, being different from what he was in camp. But seeing all these young players sort of running past him on the home stretch in a way, and obviously taking that into Laval, but making the best opportunity in Laval and waiting for that chance and getting that chance, and then, as you say, obviously, Martin Saint-Louis giving the young guys the opportunity to learn by from their mistakes and building from it. The question is, can he do that this year or this year probably, but next year Montreal should really start to get into that, playoff push role, and hopefully Justin Barron will be one of the guys. We look, what was it that made it work with Matheson in particular in for Justin Barron?
Funny enough, they're kind of like similar player. They're both, decent sized player, about 6'1", 6'2". Both can really skate. Both are, puck mover, or I would call even them like puck transporter. They're both are capable of rushing the puck. And I think Madison played like amazingly this past season and was not really something I really predict. I always liked him, but I didn't think he had this type of hockey in him. Even though he played on a pretty bad team, to be fair. I just think their games really match well together. He's a good veteran. Also, seems to be maybe not a vocal leader, but someone who's really there. He's willing to help like the younger players. I think they do match well together because they have like a similar style of game and they probably think the game in a similar way.
It's interesting though, because normally you have a puck transporter and as you mentioned, and you have someone maybe cleaning up the pucks after, a sweeper more or less, whereas those two working so well together is kind of interesting, especially since Joel Edmondson, who is more of that kind of sweeper guy, didn't work with Justin Barron. So it's or they work, but not as strong.
Yeah, well, one thing about Justin, sometimes he can get a bit carried away in his own zone, and I think he needs someone with him who can help him get out of trouble. Joel Edmondson can't really do that. You know, if Justin is in trouble, and what is he going to do? He's going to pass the puck to his D partner. Well, you know, Joel Edmondson is not Mr. First Pass. So if you get, but if you play with Michael Madison, you're giving the puck, you know he's going to do something good with it, whether it's a good first pass or skate the puck away from trouble. Like, I think that's why I think they do match well together. And also, I remember Justin Barron playing at the World Junior with Caden Gooley. And he was back then, he was, you know, he played more of a stay-at-home type, shutdown type of hockey. Not really what he's known for. He's more known about his offense and his ability to skate with the puck. But at the World Junior, you know, he did a really sound job as a more as a defensive defenseman.
Well, it's easier in a way as Canada brings a superb team to the World Juniors, and then you take the role and you get the gold medal. But I don't get the coverage of Laval Rocket here as you guys do in Quebec. But who did he play with in Laval? Because obviously it went very well for him in Laval as well.
Oh, I couldn't really tell you this. Not gonna lie to you, Patrick. Like, it's not like I watch a ton of Rocket games myself. I'm pretty busy with the NHL draft that I cover. So I couldn't really tell you who he played with for the Rocket.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't guess then either. So we look fools. We just assume that we both don't know. But going forward, what do you think he needs to work on, except for that, bringing that confidence into this training camp that starts in about a month?
Yeah, I think the major question with him, I've always been, you know, can he defend like at the NHL level? Like, and I always thought of him as a guy that's probably gonna be a third pairing defenseman. And there's always like a, you never say never in scouting because you're gonna look silly at some point. So there's always a chance he can grow his game to be a number four, like a second pairing defenseman, like maybe a number four D, because he's got like the athletic abilities, he's got the skating. But my question has always been, can he defend at a high level at the NHL level? Can he be that physical, tough to play against defenseman that, you know, NHL team wants, even more so come playoff time? That's the type of defenseman they want. He has it sometime, but it's not consistent, you know. And it was the same case in junior. Like some games you're like, okay, he's got that physical edge, and then for a few games he kind of disappear and doesn't, he's not tenacious enough. So that's the two things I would like, I would keep an eye on, is how he defends, how he def how. Also, I would mention is decision making under pressure. With like a strong forecheck on him, sometimes he can struggle a bit with his puck management. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. And I would like also to see a bit more physicality out of him.
You mentioned a little bit like defensive attributes that are not as strong. We have obviously a certain guy named Lane Hutson coming up. Same mentions. Another one is Logan Mailloux. Same mentions. Norlander is obviously in the AHL, had the same problem and continues, because otherwise he would probably be in the NHL. Is there room for so many players on defense having that maybe or lacking that defensive acumen in Montreal Canadiens?
Probably not. Probably not. I think it might, you might not think it's the case, but once you get into the, like, let's say a Canadian, I don't think Canes are a playoff team right now, but at some point they will be. So those players, come playoff time, it might, hurt them a bit more than, let's say, it does in September, October, November. But defense can be improved. It's not like, well, you're an average defender at 18 years old. Well, who says you can't improve? So, like you mentioned, Anson, he's still only 19 years old. So his players improve all the time,
You always improve.
until pretty much they retire. They always improve. So, it's not like, well, you're not good at defense at 18. You're never going to be good at defense. It doesn't work like this. Improvement happens every year, and sometimes players will not improve. Like it's, but it's it, it will be a huge mistake to just say, well, this guy can't defend at 18. He's never going to be able to defend at the NHL level. It doesn't work like this.
No, and especially with Adam Nicholas and Martin Saint-Louis at the helm right now, that seems to really help these young players evolve in different ways that maybe we hadn't really thought was possible as well.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
Looking at the situation, we mentioned it already last year with last year's development camp, and it looks kind of stacked on the defensive side, especially with this addition of Jeff Petrie, who most of us think will get traded before the start of the season anyway. But right now it looks very stacked. And where do you see Justin Barron starting the season?
Honestly, I'm not sure, because I look on the right side, like, okay, is Caden Gooley will be on the right side or left side? I'm guessing he might start on the right side. I'm not sure. Like you said, Jeff Petrie, I'm guessing he will be traded. And then David Savard is there, and then you have Kovacevic, who I thought he's the perfect number six defenseman on the team, in my opinion. So where, like, I don't know where Justin Barron fits in that. It's really, I think right now you might, and you also have a Weidman, who probably is the best fit as a seventh defenseman on the team.
Or even the eighth to be in the stands.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
because the young players need to play as well.
Yeah, well, you don't want a young player to be your seven or eight defenseman. Like, you're not gonna get better at if it's Justin, he's not gonna get better eating hot dogs in the press box, So those young players need to play. So it's really tough to see where he fits. I think, like, they're gonna have to make a decision between him and Kovacevic, I'm guessing, for the third right defenseman, but I don't know. I feel there might be some, player movement before opening game, because there's a lot of defensemen.
Indeed, it is, and it's in some ways it's unfortunate, because there are so many young ones that you want to see develop into what they can be, and you want to see them develop with the Montreal Canadiens and not with Tampa Bay or Colorado or another team that will suddenly make them, Norris Trophy winners or something like that. Looking forward though, long term, with the players as well coming through the system, will he be able to hold on to that third pairing role or?
Yeah, that's a good question, because there's a lot of young defensemen coming up also that we have not even mentioned. But Logan Mailloux, where does he fit? Like, in, I don't think he's NHL ready, but
give him a year or two.
Yeah, exactly. Like in a year or two, like where does he fit? Like he's a pretty talented player. As good of a skater as Justin is, and he has more offensive upside than Justin is, and he has more physicality. He's just huge question mark for, defense is playing his own end. But I think that's a player who needs a lot of playing time in American Hockey League because he pretty much only played 1 year in junior. So there's a lot of rep missing from him. So in Justin case, like it's tough. He's gonna have to, I think, to keep that, let's say, that third pairing role, I think he's gonna have to be, like I said, like a bit tougher to play against. And he's gonna have to be like a very important player, let's say, on the power play. If he needs to show the team that he's useful and tough to replace. So right now, if you look at the current team, there's not many guys that you can say, yeah, that guy's an asset on the power play. Madison is one, and after him, it's like, well, they didn't play Gouley on the power play at all last year. After that, like it's barren.
Shekai was there for a bit.
Could be. But so yeah, he needs to, like I said, he needs to be a very useful player for the team and not just being okay. So
He needs to find his niche
yeah.
and exploit that in a way to make it happen. We're here with Jérôme Bérubé and from hockeyprospect.com. Obviously, I have to ask you. We Montreal is going to suck next year as well. Maybe not suck, but we're not going to be very good. Which are the players we should look for in the draft?
Well, it's really early on, obviously, but the if we think Montreal is going to be a bottom five team again this year, I think you
Bottom
have to,
10, maybe.
maybe bottom 10. I mean, there's obviously Celebrini is currently our number one ranked player, and then you have Cole Eiserman, Ivan Demidov, Adam Juracek, Sam Dickinson, Artem Levchinov, Berkley Catton. Those are all guys that are, as of now, things will change. Obviously, it does every year. But those are it, the guys in their pro right now project like top 10 in the draft.
And where can we, what is your next article series or project going up into Hockey Prospect?
Well, right now we're releasing. I did like a six different episode of a podcast for the Olenka Gretzky tournament. So we're releasing this currently on the website every 2 days, I believe. So for the next 2 weeks, basically, we're releasing this. So I review each team and see what those players look like right now, because I do mention it will change. The draft is in 10 months. 17 years old hockey player. You might think they're not good at all in August. Come June, you might be their biggest fan. So things change pretty quickly, but I did like a review of pretty much every team that played at the tournament this past August.
Yeah, but Sweden is always very good, or not. Going back to Justin Barron, who would you pair him with for the upcoming season on that third pairing?
Well, if you think Jordan Harris is the third pairing left defenseman, I think he could be a really good option. So I think Jordan Harris might be, and he's smart too, and a bit like Madison. If when Barron is a bit in trouble, he can get the puck to Jordan Harris, and Jordan Harris can skate the puck away from trouble or make like a good first pass. Just so this. Going back to Madison, it's a bit similar, not the same level of talent, but similar.
you think they can learn from each other? Harry's learning a little bit of the offensive game from Justin Barron, and Barron learning maybe play with a little bit more of the edge and smartness that, that Harry's has?
Yeah, maybe. But I think a lot of the offense that Barron has is very, it's tough to teach. Like, if you look at the way he shoots the puck, it's tough to teach, you know, the quick release that he has, or, you know, ability to get pucks on net. I feel like it's a bit tough to teach. As far as like, I think Justin can learn from Jordan, mostly how he defends, because Jordan is not a big guy. It's not like he's intense, but he's not like a physical guy, right? He has his limitation because of his size, but, you know, he doesn't lose a lot of battles. So I think Justin can learn a thing or two from how Jordan defends and how he thinks the game defensively.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us, Jerome. Final question. These podcasts, are they in English or are they in French? Can I listen to them? Or
yes, everything is in English. So okay, we do everything in English at Hockey Prospect.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And be sure to follow Jerome on Twitter and on his on Hockey Prospect, so you get all the details and can say that we're wrong in our comments later on. Super happy to have you on. I'm sure we'll get back to you throughout the season. Thank you so much for joining us, Joe.
Thanks, Patrick.